this day, mystery still surrounds the killings of Mayfair Bunny girl Eve Stratford and Hounslow schoolgirl Lynn Whedon.
I was working in Zaire and I was told that my daughter had had an accident.
Eve had been found laying face down with her hands tied behind her back. Her throat had been slashed a number of times from ear to ear. Eve wasn't the only victim. The killer struck again just 6 months later. She was struck over the head with a heavy object, fracturing her skull. She died a week later.
Now, the case that I actually have today does not involve
my mother.
Also, Dan, it is the case of Eve Stratford, an English Playboy Club bunny, and Lynn Whedon, a schoolgirl, who was sexually assaulted and murdered, both of them. And this all happened about 50 years ago.
Now, both of these cases were actually on the complete opposite sides of London.
Crazy.
But when the case was reopened in 2004, new DNA techniques meant that we found out that both of these girls were murdered by the same person.
Ooh.
That means that this case is about an unidentified serial killer.
Wow. Eve Stratford, this is our first girl, okay? She moved around the world a lot during her childhood, but actually finally settled down in Hampshire. Now, in 1972, she moves in with her boyfriend in Leighton. She starts working as a bunny girl, cocktail waitress kind of thing at the Playboy Club in Park Lane, Mayfair. So you know,
I can already imagine the vibe.
That's a bougie place. Well, right now it is. I don't know, 1972, it must
Park
have been
Lane,
as well.
Park Lane, Mayfair, always been a bougie spot. High end, you can imagine gentlemen there, whiskeys. Very wealthy people, I imagine, when you go there. High status people would be in that club.
Yeah. I've spotted you there a couple of times.
Not in 1975.
Not that club. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was in 1973. In 1975, she actually did a shoot for another magazine called the Mayfair Magazine. Now, this is considered like a rival magazine. You ain't meant to be doing this, okay?
So she's a Playboy girl.
This is like being a United fan being caught in a city top.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's done that. She's been confronted by what I will refer to as the bunny mother. So this is like the, we'll call it the lady that's in charge of all
the bunnies.
Playboy bunnies, which is you know, the girls that work for Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
She's been confronted, she's broken down into tears, and she said that the quotes were not her words, and the full frontal images were taken without her realizing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that has happened. Maybe it has, maybe that's true.
But that's not the mystery here. The mystery isn't how the full frontal pictures got out there.
Yeah.
It gets a little darker than
that. Of course. Anyway, Rosemary did believe her, you know, the bunny mother.
The bunny mother did is believe called
her,
Rosemary.
Yeah, and she did believe her story, but she still suspended her, and it was during this suspension that Eve Stratford was murdered.
Eve was actually seen walking alone near her home at around 3:58 p.m., so quite a precise time. And that was on the 18th of March, 1975. Her boyfriend comes home and sees her dead body later that day, right? And it is not a pretty sight at all. She had her throat slit multiple times. Not only that, but she was found partially unclothed, as well as a nylon stocking tied around one ankle, and her hands were bound by a scarf. Mm-hmm. So the post-mortem, they examined her body, and they said that the cause of death was, in fact, obviously, the multiple slits to the throat. Very gruesome. And, you know, they weren't able to tell whether the sex that had taken place was consensual or not. So they were unsure about that, and they couldn't actually give a thing. What was this? Something way worse, and then the throat was slit? Or did she actually have consensual sex with someone,
and then
the person has done it afterwards? They weren't able to do that. But what's interesting about it is that there was actually a bouquet of bloody flowers next to her body.
Ooh, is that like an MO? Like a calling card kind of thing?
Is it that, or did she know this person? What Did she go on a date with this person?
Yeah, he's rocked up with flowers. They've obviously participated.
She's been like, oh, it's XYZ. Hi, come on in. And then they've got into...
Woohoo. They've done the woohoo.
Yeah, they've done a bit of something. And then after that, it's all gone...
south? Yeah. On the day that she died, the police had figured out that she had visited Camden for lunch and then Bayswater to meet up with a publisher about some work.
Right.
Now, they've found no signs that she has been followed home at all. And at 4:30 p.m., the woman that actually lives below them heard a male and a female talking above and heard like a loud thump. Now, if you remember earlier, you spoke about 3:58 p.m. was the last time she was seen.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of lines up, 3:58 p.m. and then at 4:30 p.m. she was back in the flat.
Yeah, I think it's...
because she was near her home, right?
I definitely think she's let someone in that she knows. Because like you said, if the neighbor is hearing someone just talking, then... If a stranger's walked into your house, it would be more like screaming and shouting and all that. But it sounds like two people were talking. So it very well could have just been someone that they'd known. Or, you know, she worked in this Playboy club. Is it a regular that she had seen there, sort of recognizing, maybe not necessarily friends, but someone that she had been around quite a few times?
Maybe,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe she's having an affair.
Yeah,
because it's the boyfriend that found her.
With the wealthy men as well, potentially, that were in those clubs.
Yep.
She's having an affair with a wealthy man from there. He's come over, didn't want things to get found out, done what he's done. Come with some flowers. It's all a bit... Anyways, let's continue. To further my point about them knowing each other, there was no signs of a forced entry into this house.
Yeah.
So again, she's opened the door... potentially let this guy in as well. There was no forced entry. Now, the person in charge, the detective on this case, who goes by the name John McFadzine. Tough one to pronounce. You're going to have to spare
me on
that one.
Let it slide.
He said it was the biggest murder squad and the longest inquiry he ever conducted. Not only that, but from there was... three men who came forward and confessed.
To the murder.
They said, it was me. But all three of those men weren't telling the truth. They were capping. Now, we spoke about this when we went over the case the first time. Confessing to murders
strange.
They didn't do? Why would you want to claim a murder like that? They were easily proved to be false claims.
Yeah.
One of the
people that confessed said that he strangled her, but obviously the cause of death was via the slit throat. So that's just one way of proving that you didn't actually
do
it, because you don't even know the cause of death.
Yeah.
But why would you come forward and be like, you know what?
I did that.
That was me, even though it's not you.
Yeah, like there's nothing to really gain from it, at least as far as I'm aware. Like, you don't get fucking bonus points for killing someone.
You'll be getting prison time.
Yeah. Anyways, that was out the window, and to this day, they haven't found the person that killed Eve Stratford. Now, Chip, I know you're desperate to get to that Playboy Club, but unfortunately, it closed 27 years ago now. Eve's mother has passed away, and her older brother actually died as an alcoholic at the age of 50.
6 months later, after everything's gone down, we've got Lynn Whedon. She was a 16-year-old girl. This all happened on the 3rd of September. Now, she's walking home at night, and it's dark. We're talking a dark pathway here. And she is hit over the head with a blunt object by an unknown perpetrator and sexually assaulted. Now, this all actually happened near her home in Hounslow, and she was found the next morning by a local school caretaker, and she was actually still alive, just with serious injuries. Now, unfortunately, a week later, 10th of September 1975, she did die in Middlesex Hospital, and she didn't regain consciousness, so nobody could get any details out of her, I'm assuming there.
Yeah. It's the reason why this... particular why we've got these two cases in one is that, like we said at the beginning, it turns out that these two were linked together by DNA and new DNA technology. So in 2004, Lynn's case was actually reopened, and in 2007, because of the new technology, it showed that both murders were committed by the same person. Now, these two places, if you are from London, you'll know that Hounslow is far west and Leighton is pretty far east, to be honest. Like, we're not even talking like central London at all. We're talking pretty out in the sticks.
Yeah.
What this means, Chip, is that there has been a serial killer with at least two definite victims that we know of that has been roaming around London, maybe they've moved now, for 40 years, okay? There's two killings, both DNA matched, but there's no record of them on the DNA database. They can't find who this person is.
Damn.
Now.
Serial killer at large. Probably not now, but still. Still, you know what? Still could be alive, 8 years old, cutting about in a care home.
Yeah, well, they say he could be between the ages of 60 to 70. That is sort of the...
Probably all meat and rice pudding.
Yeah.
Enjoying himself or herself, you know. Well, it's himself, right?
Yeah, himself. Yeah, we're pretty sure this is a guy.
Yeah. You never know, man.
You never,
this is 2021,
right.
Man.
You're absolutely
watch yourself.
Right. We can't rule these other cases out.
Yeah.
Suspects out.
Suspects, yeah.
Eve Stratford and her boyfriend, along with 52 other men, have been eliminated through DNA sampling. And they've actually gone as far to say they've offered up a reward of £40,000.
Wow.
To anybody that can give them information leading to the identification, arrest, and prosecution of the person responsible for these two horrific crimes.
Damn.
Yeah, £40,000, you'd think that would be enough, but the problem is it's been a long time since 1975, so I feel like any information now will have already come out unless we get another deathbed confession, Chip.
I
can't bear to stand another one of those. But they do think the person is in their 60s, 70s. So to be perfectly honest with you guys, this person could very well still be alive, which is really scary. They could be watching this video or listening to this podcast right now.
And they might come for us next.
Oh. Well, we don't necessarily fit their target, but it's kind of weird.
They might want to silence us.
You're absolutely right, but it'll be too late because this podcast will already be out. And look, if anybody does have any information on this, maybe, you know, in true crime, we tend to get an older audience as well.
You can get yourself
£40,000 for some information.
Yeah. That's a new Porsche.
No, it's not a new Porsche, but it is a Porsche.
It depends on what Porsche, but it could be. We need to talk about some suspects and a possible motive. Now, the killer most likely knew Eve Stratford, okay? But Lynn, that was an opportunistic crime. Possibly, anyway. Because that's one of them's a glamour girl, Playboy glamour girl, and the other is a schoolgirl. One's been killed near her home. The other's been taken straight off the street.
Yeah,
you know,
the thing. Usually, I feel with a serial killer, there's a very obvious pattern or they do similar things.
Yeah.
There's really not that much here.
Besides the DNA, that's the only thing that ties them together.
Ties them together.
They're both ladies, you know. They live on different parts of London.
It just, there's not that many connecting dots. It's probably why this is still unsolved as well.
D.I. Weatherhill said it was very possible that the killer had been incited by the magazine, because the magazine had actually sold more than 450,000 copies. That is a lot.
That's to be circulating that many. So
yeah, there was no internet back then. So if you wanted to get a little bit of that,
see a bit of full frontal,
you needed to go to Playboy magazine.
Well, no, this was Mayfair magazine.
Ooh.
Oh well, you could probably get it
from
both.
Well, I don't know. Either or.
Yeah, and that leans on the theory that was it a creepy guy? I mean, look, the guy's obviously very clearly twisted, whatever, we know that.
Yeah.
But did this guy do this because he's seen her in the magazine, started stalking her, maybe went to going to that Playboy club, saw her there, became, just like a creepy infatuated with her. And from there, then walked up to her house. She recognizes him. Oh, I've seen you in the club recently quite a bit. You've been maybe paying me a bit more attention. He's turned up with flowers.
Ooh.
She says, I don't want the flowers. Thank you, though. I have a boyfriend. Then that theory there.
That's not a bad theory.
That is what I'm leaning towards with the Eve case. Unfortunately, with the Lynn one, I'm still a bit bamboozled. I don't really know. But we'll go into it a little bit more. We'll stick on this Eve case and go through a few other things that people have sort of been discussing and theorizing. Editor of the Mayfair magazine that we spoke about, the rival magazine that Eve went and sort of worked with. The editor of that was called David Brenner. Now, he wrote a lot of the text that went alongside all the photos, and they were kind of controversial. They were pretty graphic text, if that makes sense, and a lot of stuff that he wrote there wasn't necessarily true either, but they wanted to portray her with a certain image, and so that's what he did. And a lot of people actually blame David Brenner's writing and text as one of the reasons why Eve might have been killed. Because back then, like I said, a lot of the stuff was a little bit more controversial than what you'd be used to hearing. In fact, David Brenner was claimed that he'd never actually met Eve, and that the interview just happened over the phone. And the police really struggled to believe that. They couldn't really understand the fact that this interview had just happened over the phone. You got to remember, it is 1975, but especially nowadays, that would be so normal. But back then, maybe not so much. And the police weren't they didn't really buy it too much. And they were a little bit suspicious that he could be lying. Now, the photographer, Ed Alexander, also blamed the text that David had written as one of the reasons for Eve's death. But both the photographer and the editor were eliminated as suspects through the DNA sampling. So they're clear.
Ruled out. Now we've got another suspect here. His name is Abdul Khawajan. And they nicknamed him Little Abdul.
All right.
Bit of a rapper's name, but it is what it is. He was a well-known member of this Playboy Club anyway, you know, part late made there. He obviously goes there a lot.
He was a frequent attendee.
I like that. I like that a lot. Anyways, he was a strong suspect in 1975. Now, he and Eve never formally dated. Now, I don't know if they had a little hush-hush going on or whatever. Who knows?
Formally,
no. Now, he did like socializing with Eve and the other bunnies, though, so maybe they were friends or whatever. And some of the other bunnies claimed that once Eve had died, that he was really upset, crying, all that kind of stuff.
Devastated.
And he complained that he was being hounded by the police. So the police obviously thought, Abdul, Little Abdul, you're on our list. You're a little bit dodgy. Yeah. Something's going on here. We like you for it. Anyway, he actually died a couple of years ago, but the police went and took DNA from his son, and that DNA cleared Abdul of any suspicion because it obviously didn't match up with the DNA that they found on Eve.
Yeah, so, or well, both of the bodies.
Well, both, yeah, it didn't match.
So, yeah, that because I, in my head, you remember the theory that I spoke about earlier about it being someone that maybe started going to the club.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't Abdul.
But it could have been,
someone else.
I'm pretty sure Abdul would not have been the only man at the Playboy Club who's friendly with Eve or talked to her, that kind of stuff. So maybe they had the right idea, but the wrong man.
Another thing that we have to point out is that this person has committed two horrible crimes, okay? But usually what would happen off the back of that is that they would do it again. Why stop it two? Why only two?
Is it possible that the murderer, after the second, thought that the police were getting a little bit too close to him? Maybe when they started hounding Abdul, he was somebody that was familiar with Abdul, saw that and was like, I need to step off the gas.
But this is obviously someone that has a kick for it. Okay, maybe he steps off the gas for a year, 2 years, three years.
You still think he strides. Who's to say he hasn't?
It's true. Maybe
he got... So obviously, he's managed to get away with these two killings, right?
That we know of.
Yeah, but unfortunately for him, he did leave some DNA behind.
Yeah.
Maybe from that point onwards, he was like, right, I'm going to go full Dexter on these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I ain't going to leave no DNA.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're right. And I would believe that, to be honest with you. I think that there are probably more victims out there.
Yeah.
I struggle to believe that he would just leave it at two. I think there are more out there. So that's where we're at. I still think my theory about it being someone that was sort of obsessed with Eve, things like that. But unfortunately, the Lynn Whedon case,
I feel like
the schoolgirl is
just
so random. It doesn't. There's really
place,
no
wrong time,
info.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe it was just an opportunistic thing. But if it was opportunistic, then surely he's done it more times. So we don't know. Anyways, guys, that is this case. We'd love to read your guys' theories and what you think about this case. Do you know any other bits of information that we don't know? Please do leave it in the comments.
Yes, let us know.
Of course, if you are on a commute, you can't sit and watch the YouTube video. We are on audio platforms as well. We're on Apple Podcasts.
Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
As it stands right now, but we are the number one true crime podcast on Spotify.
Phenomenal work, guys.
So thank you, guys.
Yeah, seriously, really appreciate that. And if you would be so kind as well to leave us a five-star rating over on the Apple Podcast site.
And, helps a lot.
Yeah, it really does. So from the detectives over at the Fellas Mysteries, we will catch you guys on the next one.